And the easiest way to think about it is, if you're someone that works with your hands, if you, you know, play an instrument, if you cook or do anything with your hands, if you were to try to spend a day wearing shoes in your hands.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Nederland, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me just down the hill in Boulder, Colorado. I have got Yashua Greenfield in the house. Yashua, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Let's do it.
I'm super excited to have this gentleman on the show. I've had the pleasure of getting to know him for the last few years or so through music, through travel, adventure, and all different kinds of things. And Yashua is the founder of You Enjoy Life, which is really, you know, inspirational social media, content creation, retreats, workshops, with the mission to bring joy to life through food, music, nature, and enjoy just a more simpler pace and simpler way of doing things. And, you know, I know formerly you had founded with your brother, the Brothers Green, which was a Brooklyn-based, you know, cooking duo that aired on YouTube, which, you know, aired in over 90 different countries around the world, you know, millions of subscribers. And I know you've had all kinds of different fun things, whether it was the Rachel Ray show and the burger cook-off where you competed for Nick Jonas, or all kinds of different stuff. I know you've had a lot of publicity in New York Magazine's Grub Street and things like that. And when I got the pleasure of meeting you, you had just left that world into Boulder. And I know that you've slowed things down. Music and art, like I said in the introduction, has become a big focus. And so has, you know, living a bear and bear lifestyle. And then you're running your first barefoot marathon. Unconventional Life is literally running a marathon barefoot. And I see you training in the mountains, like on your Instagram and stuff like that, like in the snow today, running barefoot. People are like, what's going on? So it just felt like it was time to have you on the show, have a conversation, because I think you've definitely come from a lot of different worlds and you have a lot of perspectives to offer. So welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here and to chat with you. So many changes, I think, for most people, but just in my own personal life, I was living in Brooklyn and really music was my focus, and I loved music because it was the first thing that showed me that I could be more than I thought that I was. And then that, through some wild experiences, led to starting this cooking show with my brother, and we ended up on MTV and YouTube, and like you were saying, and it was an amazing experience getting to inspire people and get them excited about cooking. But when I came to Colorado, something changed. Just being in the mountains, I think I came in with this New York energy, thinking like, I'm gonna like take over and bring my New York kind of whatever vibe to Colorado. And the Colorado was like, nope, like squash that. Like, we're gonna, you know, this is our energy, and you know, we're gonna kind of bring you into it. So when I started planting food and just spending more time in the mountains, things just started to change. And one of them was a whispering in my ear that said, take your shoes off. And when I did that, I haven't looked back. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, even that transition, and I want to talk about, you know, the take your shoes off and the barefoot living, because you and I were jamming at my house the other day and I was like, so what's up with all this like barefoot, like running? And you're like, I'm running a marathon. And it's like becoming this lifestyle, which is such a philosophy that I want to talk about. But even the nature of transitions, I think this year for many of us, you know, have been very transitional. Some, you know, intentional by our choosing, and some not. And we've all learned to adapt in different ways. And, you know, I know for you, making that transition from New York, you know, to Colorado, just spatially a big difference, but also to leave behind what some might call, you know, a certain sense of fame or personality or, you know, ego, being in this, like in the Brothers Green, like even my cousin, you know, I've been watching your YouTube channel for years, like such a fan. And he's like, you know, that guy, I heard he just moved to Colorado. And I was like, oh yeah, like my friend. I didn't realize like it was a whole world, you know? And I imagine that experience wasn't uncommon, you know, to have that personality. And so what has that been like in that transition, and any perspective that you can give just in, you know, shedding ways and labels and ways that you've been, because I think sometimes that can be hard for a lot of people and it might be a process that.
So for me, the transition, I'm not going to say it was easy. I think transitions can take a lot of energy and intensity. And I also, in the same year that I left Brothers Green, I also left my marriage. So it was a whole life uprooting. But what a lot of it comes down to is just identity. And I think even before I started Brothers Green, even like early into the band days, I got into Buddhism, which led me to some other spiritual paths. And the biggest thing that I kept taking away was the person that I think that I am is an illusion. So if I'm holding on to this idea of who I am, I'm just going to create suffering for myself, because I'm so much more than any label that gets put upon me, whether on myself or someone else. I'm so much more than that. And I think everyone, it's the same case for everybody. But when we make meaning into this person that we think we're supposed to be, it just creates a lot of struggle. So for Brothers Green leaving, it was actually one of the most freeing things that ever happened, because the last couple of years, especially when we reached a certain level of fame and exposure that I could have never predicted, I was starting to get caught in this character. And I was like, there's this character that I'm playing on kind of YouTube and TV that's kind of me, but also like a kind of fictionalized, like grandicized version of myself. And people are commenting on that character, and it's making me in some cases like feel insecure about myself, but that's not even who I am. And then it kind of leads me to this journey of like, who am I really beyond that character? So walking away, even though it was challenging and scary to think like, oh, am I ever going to have that kind of audience again? Or will I be able to support myself? There's a million thoughts that I had. And same with my marriage, like walking away from that, I'm like, well, yeah, it's really hard. And I lost a lot. But getting to have myself, you know, and whoever that might be, I'm still discovering every day, was invaluable. So for anyone, I think, that is going through a struggle, it's like, the person that we think that we are, when we start to unravel that, it's just, it becomes so much more exciting. And that also led me to a lot of different things and really discovering, rediscovering what I love about food. Because I lost it for a while in the Brothers Green thing when it became about food being viral and being trendy. I'm like, but what I love about food is the connection, you know? So now I teach more mindful eating and conscious consumption, helping people just develop a healthy relationship to how they're interacting with nature and with the things that they're eating, versus making it about the food. It's like, how does it make you feel? And how does it bring people together, just like music? You know, what is that shared connection that we all have?
Yeah, I love that. And unconventional lifers, you know, if you haven't ever experienced, you know, Yashua in the way of cooking, you know, your food, I've had the pleasure in person quite a few times. You know, it's such a unique combination. I remember the other day you like dropped off this like sauce type of thing that was like, I don't know, some vegan cheese sauce. I don't even know what it was. It was fantastic. It was so good. And I think it's such the essence of, you know, this new company that you've transitioned to, which is like You Enjoy Life, which is slowing down, you know, more simplicity, taking your shoes off. And so like, share a little bit about that philosophy and what is it that you feel some people miss, you know, in the pursuit of life, that you feel like maybe in your own journey, you came to some of the realizations. And I know you've kind of spoken to that a little bit, but just in terms of an offering or a frame that, you know, you can invite others into considering.
Well, yeah, I'll kind of break down just what I consider You Enjoy Life to be. I think the word joy, I mean, we all have different meanings of different words, but I think the word joy often gets misconstrued as like happiness. But when I say joy, it's more a presence. So I think of to be in a state of joy. So it's like, take the you, and to be in a state of joy in your life, it really just means to be present. It's not so much a good or a bad. It's much more of a non-dualistic kind of thing where you're saying just to be present. It's what so many people are looking for. How do I be more present in life? How do I be more mindful and conscientious? And to find ways to drop into that space is really powerful. So I just take the things that light me up, which food, music, being out in nature, they're just very simple ways to feel that state of connection. Because what happens is when you're in that state of connection, things can flow through you. You know, a lot of people don't think that they're necessarily artistic. They're like, I'm not creative. I can't sing. There's all these stories that we have. But to me, these things are very primal and basic things. So when I do a music workshop, for example, and help people open up their voice, it's really about just creating that container where people feel like it's okay to just express however they want to express. Because whatever story you have about, I can't sing, I'm not a good musician, my sister's a musician, my parents told me to like leave that to her, whatever it was, when we get away from those stories and we realize we're not on American Idol, we're not trying to win a Grammy, music isn't necessarily about that. Those things can be powerful and wild and wonderful if that's your journey. However, to me, music is a very simple thing. It's like a God, universal given thing that we have. So when we create a container to do that and just to be present, suddenly somebody opens their voice and there's like this voice of an angel that comes out, and it's just like, whoa, okay, you thought you couldn't sing. but that was just a story you were telling yourself. So I really like to help people get into that state of joy. And through me, for me, it's just because I really grew up believing I had no artistic skills. I wasn't creative. I wasn't smart. I had a learning disability. I was on lots of medication for, you know, ADHD and all these things. And it just put me in, I became like a robot, and it just completely crippled me. But then when I started getting to music, I came alive. And I was like, this isn't about being good or being bad. There's this feeling. And by the end of a concert, everyone feels this connection, like this love, you know, and that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, to be in that state of joy. And how I like to just say, if I'm resonating in a certain way and I can get other people to resonate there, we're going to feel some sort of shared collective connection that just kind of lights me up.
Yeah, totally. Well, yes to that. And I know you have a lot of practices that you do regularly that really bring you to that state of joy and that state of presence. And, you know, for those hearing this, maybe someone listening to this is like, you know, not in nature. They were like you in New York, or they're in their own version of, you know, like life, or there's hustle, or there's, you know, things going on. What are some of the practices that you find just can help transform the moment or bring you back to presence, you know, in a quick state change that some people listening to this, you know, might be able to start adapting right away?
Well, so there's a lot of things out there and with like retreats and workshops and facilitators, that's a big word. I started calling myself a silly-tator, and just something about like the bringing back the silliness to it, make like not taking things so heavy, because on this spiritual journey, on the healing journey, it can become so heavy. Like it almost seems like when you uncover and you fix one problem, that right, there's like another one waiting for you. It's like, what? I thought I was good with that. So to actually find the joy in that, one of the practices I like to do is just first off, remember that like I don't have to take things so seriously, that my mind isn't necessarily in control. And when I tune into something much more simple and I get in my body, then I can actually just relax. So I love dancing. I love putting on music. In fact, when I run, I don't really consider it running. I never liked running, especially in shoes. I always dreaded running. When I took my shoes off and I was in the mountains, I was like, oh, this is just movement. And natural movement allows me to get out of my head. It's like getting out of your head and into your body and kind of letting your essence take over. And then once I've like done that, once I've either opened my voice or kind of moved or even gone for a hike and gotten in my breath, then I feel this immense sense of connection and peace, and it becomes easier to operate from that state. And sometimes I'll go throughout the day, and if I don't do a practice, not to say I have any one practice, but if I don't really allow myself to get into my body, like I'm kind of feeling off. And then when I do that practice, it's like, oh, there I am. You know, the person before, like that was like this awkward, clumsy person. And now I'm like dropped into that vibrational connection. I'm like, oh, cool. That's me. I got it. Get it. Makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I definitely experienced that as well for myself. And I think there's so many different forms. And I love that you mentioned the running, because I, you know that, you know, taking your shoes off and being barefoot has become not only just like an experiment, but really this way of life. And I just like watching you on Instagram and the different content that you make. And I'm just like, the other day I asked you, I was like, so what's up with this whole barefoot thing? And you started to share a little bit about that and a lot of traction. I know a lot of people have been coming to you to be like, what's going on? Or like, what do you recommend? And so share with our listeners a little bit about the world of, you know, where this started and then just what this practice has been and a little bit about what's been happening.
Yeah, of course. I love talking about feet right now. And even when I'm like mid training, like I just, a couple of days ago, I ran up and did Chautauqua and then Sanitas and then another mountain across the street. And like, even though I'm like in training, if somebody sees me and they're like barefoot, I'll stop and have a whole conversation with them, just because I don't know, it feels like this part of my calling right now to just, I call it free the feet. You know, some people are trying to free the nipple or whatever, and I support that, but free the feet, free the feet. I feel like this mission of helping people just develop a relationship to their feet, because our feet literally ground us to the earth. And my whole life, like growing up, I never really loved shoes, but it was the only option I had. And interestingly enough, my dad and now my sister, they're both podiatrists. So I grew up in the foot world. And you know, there's always seeing more pictures of feet than most people, hearing about feet more than most people, but not really understanding why. So it's only been really in the last year when I've gotten serious into the barefoot lifestyle that I'm like, it's all clicking, like, okay. And what I've come to notice through like piecing together all these things, you know, because there's people that do trail running, and there's people that run marathons, and there's people that are barefoot, and there's grounding and earthing and reflexology, and there's all these different modalities. And I'm just seeing how they all kind of form together. And what it really comes down to for me is, like, a lot of the shoe industry, just like a lot of other industries, is designed to make money, which, you know, makes sense on one paradigm, but it's also destroying our feet. So people shove their feet into shoes, and they're kind of like these, like, foot casts or foot prisons that take away most of the mobility of the feet. And the easiest way to think about it is, if you're someone that works with your hands, if you, you know, play an instrument, if you cook or do anything with your hands, if you were to try to spend a day wearing shoes in your hands, or wearing, you know, like a, what are the oven mitts, right? And to try to do the things you normally do, mm-hmm. you would be like, this is awful. And the thing is, our feet actually have as much mobility as our hands, but we shove them away and we squeeze them tight, and we just completely say, like, we don't need them. We're going to rely on this shoe. So while I think it doesn't make sense to be fully barefoot for a lot of people, maybe in cities, I think you can be, and I know people that are, and I've walked around cities barefoot, and there are great options. Like, there's barefoot type sandals, and there's barefoot shoes. There's lots of companies that, you know, Luna and Vivo and Vibram, and like the little Five Fingers. So while I think that's like a great start, for me, I pretty much am barefoot all the time now, and I'm noticing the way that I connect to my feet and how much time I spend just appreciating them. So if you think about the sole, right? Like, the sole, we say, oh, humans have a sole. Where's the sole? Well, what about the sole of our foot? And in reflexology, the whole body is mapped out on the foot. So when I walk around on trails in nature, I'm literally getting like reflexology, acupuncture, massage, like all these things just on my feet at once. And granted, it can be painful, and it's a transition, because to get your foot back to functioning does take time, and you don't want to overdo it, which happens. A lot of runners that are used to running 10, 15, 20 miles try to transition to barefoot, and they have to realize that they're probably going to run half as fast, and they have to start way slower. So it's a bit of an ego thing. But when you start understanding the magic of your foot, so much unlocks. And I'm just so grateful for my feet every day. And I love on them, as I am right now, actually, as we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. And I know some listeners might be like, I wonder what his feet look like, like walking around barefoot all the time. And actually, like, your feet are really well taken care of. And not to like get personal, but like, we were talking about this on my couch the other day, and I was like, wow, like, it's not like you have like calluses or it's black or anything like that. Like you were saying, like, you're almost in more of a practice of really nourishing your feet and really, you know, taking care of them more than probably the average person, you know, by far. And for someone that wants to start that practice, because I know you've, you know, really been offering mentorship and guidance for those that are wanting to transition, what's a good first step? And you kind of shared a few things to keep in mind, you know, but if someone's like, yeah, let me give this a go for an hour, or, you know, a half a day they work up to, like, what's a good trajectory or a good way to build up?
Yeah, of course. I love, there's so many good foot puns, like your first step. But it was very much a thing that I didn't know much about. Obviously, I've been barefoot on beaches before, and we were just, you know, my partner and I were in Mexico and in Costa Rica for the last 5 months. So it's, some places just like naturally everyone's barefoot, and it's much easier in the beach. But when you're in the mountains, you definitely don't think about it. But what I've found is, like, take it slow, recognize that your foot is like a seedling. Right. And if you think about, like, I love the metaphor of how a seed grows. So the seed starts, and it's in this shell, and it's protected and it's safe, but it's actually not, it's like, it's just potential at that point. So if your foot's in a shoe, it exists as potential. And when you take it out of a shoe, it's like a seedling. It's very vulnerable. But if you're smart and you care for it and you really like take good care of the seed, it will grow into this beautiful flower. So I think the natural foot has the potential to become this amazing thing, regardless of what people have told you about. You know, some people are like, well, I'm flat. I get this all the time. I'm flat footed, or I have high arches. And yes, there are so many different types of feet. But the first thing you can do is literally just take your shoes off and put them in the ground. And if you know much about grounding, there's actually a great book and documentary called Earthing. About this guy, Clint Oberst, I believe his name is. And he discovered that humans, kind of like electricity, like we have these electrical charges in our body, and we need to ground ourselves. And we don't put our feet in the ground, we actually store so much stagnant energy, which leads to pain, inflammation, and lots of issues. So even just by putting your feet in the ground and creating that connection, you're starting to communicate with the earth around you. Now I've gone hiking. Like recently I went hiking with some people who are not barefooters, and they took their shoes off halfway through seeing me barefoot. I was like, just warning you, side effect of being my friend is you'll probably become barefoot, just so you know, or at least you'll try it. And halfway through the hike, they, because they were joking about how whenever they go hiking, they always fall. And they have this like, if you fall three times, kind of like you're out, like three strikes, you're out. And when they took their shoes off, they're like, wow, I feel so much more secure and stable. And yes, the bottom of your feet, like they might get a bit beat up and you want to be careful about that. But what I find with the feet is like, they're going to tell you when they've had enough. So maybe you walk for a mile, you know, or 10 minutes or whatever it is, and your feet start to feel tender. Okay, put your shoes back on. But I've also gone on hikes with people who don't go barefoot, who we do like 3 to 5 miles, and they're just like, whoa, that just happened. I have a lot more energy when I'm barefoot in the mountains. So I can run a lot longer. Yeah. I can move a lot longer. So start slow and understand that what you think about the foot, a lot of people that talk about barefooting actually have never done it. So they might say, oh, well, it's dangerous and you shouldn't do it. And here's the problems. But most people that say that have never really done it. And then you have the other folks who get into it way too fast and they just like want to start trail running right away and they injure themselves. So barefoot gets a bit of a bad name, but recognize that we're born barefoot and that over time your foot just kind of goes back to its natural state and you're like, whoa, this is cool.
Yes, so good. Yeah, and I know it feels like something's brewing, you know, with this free the feet movement, and you know, legitimately you're going to be running a marathon in 5 days, a barefoot marathon, which is awesome and wild to watch. And any ideas of what feels next in terms of free the feet, or what you would like to see, or just even any invitation to our listeners that are like, you know, tuning into this, that are like, Joshua, that sounds kind of cool, or like, I want to be a part of this, because I know, you know, organically you've been building this community without even trying, you know, of just people through content and social media that are like starting to rally around this. And so yeah, any invitation or anything that you see next in this free the feet?
Well, I do feel like I'm riding a wave right now. It kind of hit me yesterday where, you know, I started a TikTok page a few months ago and it was kind of as a joke, and I was like, I was pretty anti-TikTok and kind of telling people not to use it. And then through a friend who was on it and I saw her actually making an impact through sexual education, I was like, So I just started making all kinds of content like that I love. I was dancing, I was cooking, and then I made this video about my feet, and it was just my feet. I was just talking about how I have like monkey feet and how much I love them. And the video like went viral and I was like, oh, my feet are famous now. Cool. Something's going on here. I did not expect that. I did not think I would make really any kind of foot content of this regard. And then slowly, yeah, other barefooters started reaching out and they're like, hey, we're doing this barefoot 5K movement. And now a lot of people, like, I keep getting followers that are like Barefoot Jenny, you know, or like the barefoot guy on Instagram. And I love it. And I've just gotten so many friends to go barefoot. People send pictures to me while they're on their hikes barefoot, and it's like, okay, there's something here. Maybe like part karmically with my dad and my sister being podiatrists, and they're coming from more of a Western medicine world, and then there's sort of like some of the resistance around that and the inner calling. And I think if there's any takeaway for me, it's like, you know, there's no right. I'm not here to tell anybody like what the right way is to live their life, because I don't think there is any one right way. But I do find that the more you connect to the things that really make sense, the more things show you. So like with feet, like if you're going your whole life like I was, just wearing shoes and even being told I needed orthotics because I had flat feet and believing all this stuff just blindly, well, if I'm not willing to look at that, at the very least, like to look and say, okay, is there more to this? Then what's really the point, you know? So the more I look at like the foot, the more I understand how it actually makes sense. And even with this barefoot marathon, I'm not attached to finishing it or to having any kind of time. When I train, I don't train like, I don't do these like really intense interval trainings, because I don't consider myself a runner. Something drove me to want to sign up for that marathon. And even if I don't go and don't even compete, which I plan to, but even if like something happened and I couldn't make it, it wouldn't actually matter, because the information that I've gotten about the foot, just having to learn about it, the connections that I've made, the people that have gotten into barefooting, is all worth it. And if I go to this marathon and I'm barefoot, and from my understanding, no one's ever run it barefoot before, and it's a very intense marathon, and even if it inspires one person to like reconsider, because a lot of runners have a lot of injuries and they really mess up their feet. if they don't wear the right shoes or wear shoes at all. So yeah, I'm very excited to see where it's going to lead. But I gotta put my best foot forward and just have fun. And even if it's a super long hike, like I don't really care, because I'm not attached to the outcome so much as like the journey. And the journey has been so eye-opening and so wonderful. And if you're out there thinking like, how can I get more involved in my feet, and I don't want to go barefoot, or I can't, like, yeah, you can love on your feet. And I'm seeing that change right now, where I'm not trying to convince people to go running, but just like get to know your feet better, rub them, look at them, learn about how they work, spread them out, appreciate them, because they're literally the root of your whole body and they keep you planted into the ground.
It is a beautiful thing. So, so good. Yashua Greenfield, everyone, you know, what I love about your story is just, you know, the permission of being in a new conversation, you know, particularly the feet. And I also love, it's been a really organic, you know, there's just been this current moving. And I think unconventional lifers, a lot of times we ask ourselves these questions of what am I supposed to do next? Or what is my calling? Or what is my purpose? And why am I here? And sometimes if we pay attention to it, mostly often when we pay attention to it, there are these currents, these tugs that are guiding us in different directions. Even the, this TikTok thing, well, let me just do this feet thing, to then barefooting community, to connecting the dots of life experience, your dad, your sister, podiatry. And I think, you know, in my own experience, there's all these pieces that can seem so random that we encounter through our life experience. And then we wonder, what was that for? Why did I do that? What was that rabbit hole? And then there are these beautiful moments where they all seem to come together and you're like, okay, let me go in this direction. And like you said, who knows where it will go? Who knows what will happen from the marathon? Even just the nature of signing up and putting yourself in the game, I think, in my opinion, is such the nature of what the unconventional life is about, and living the unconventional life. And so my last question for you, as we close out our segment today, is when you think about the unconventional life, you know, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I guess I always resonated with that word, because I've always, not my whole life, but when I really started looking at myself in a new way, not from fear, but from possibility, I started to become seen as an unconventional person. And I think, to me, being unconventional is to following like what's really in your heart and what's in your flow. And I'll just give like one last like little piece of thing that changed my life. And it's actually something my dad told me a long time ago. I remember I was in this band and I was struggling, and I was loving it, but kind of struggling to have our band and our music spread. And I was like, how do we get more people to listen to us? How do we get a manager? And he's like, just focus on doing what lights you up, and just focus on like what you're really passionate about. And when you do good things, people will find you. And I think that's this piece of this unconventional nature, is like, think about who are you, what makes you uniquely yourself, and what lights you up, and follow that. And it doesn't mean that it's easy, but it's simple. You know, when you follow that inspiration, everything just kind of finds a way to work itself out. You don't have to worry about how am I going to do this or that. It's like all the pieces will just kind of make sense. But if you're doing it from a state of fear, you know, it's not going to make sense. And then when you're doing it in a state of flow, it's like, that's when you have all those signs like, oh my God, that connected to that. And then this happened. And yes. And blah, blah. So you know, that's what I think about unconventional life. And being unconventional is, you know, is actually a very special thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't mean that it's easy, and it is simple, such profound and simple words for all of us. Yashua, for those that want to follow along in your journey, might be interested in checking out, you know, this barefooting, free the feet movement, you know, also might be interested in cooking and just following along, what's the best place for people to go to and to stay in touch?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way is just to search for You Enjoy Life. And you can find me on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. That's probably the easiest place. I also have, just through some of the links on there, a free copy of my new book, Cooking with Your Best Friend. I also wrote a book called Conversations with Your Best Friend. And yeah, just go there, and whatever is your favorite kind of form of media, I'll have some stuff for you. YouTube, there's longer things, longer videos about being barefoot, some barefoot trail running stuff. Instagram, TikTok are more like little bursts of inspiration. And yeah, never hesitate to reach out and say hello.
Yeah, so good. Unconventional lifers, we will throw all of those links up on our show notes on the website at unconventionallifeshow.com. Yashua, it was so great having you on the show, and for having a different conversation. I was like, yeah, let's talk about feet on this episode.
Feed it up.
And I'm I'm so glad you did. I feel like there's going to be a book about feet next. It's like the cooking conversations with your best friend, conversations with your feet.
Conversations with your barefooted friend. I think that's... Jules, it's so great chatting with you. Good. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much, everyone.